$18 billion border bill that's been introduced in the Senate is dead on arrival in the lower house of Congress. Stocks have turned mixed on Wall Street. The Dow trading 66 points higher, while the NASDAQ is down 35 points, the S&P off 4. More details at SRNNews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're covering a brief variety of a number of subjects and topics that I believe is imperative for Christians and conservatives and patriots to get a handle on, to understand, and to stand for, stand against, to be prepared to give a answer. I'm looking at a headline that says, yes, America is being invaded. Across the globe, hostile nations like Russia are using migration as a weapon of war. War is being waged with migrants instead of tanks to destabilize and even bankrupt our nation and facilitate terrorist attacks from within. Migration is being used to attack Finland, Italy, France, Poland, and no surprise, America also. But the Biden administration is asleep at the switch, obviously to the threat, oblivious to the threat. Though most of the migrants crossing the U.S. border are in search of economic opportunity, multitudes are used as tools by our enemies. Texas Governor Abbott is rightly sounding the alarm about what he calls an invasion. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that what's happening at our southern border is an invasion? I've said for months and months and months, even for several recent years now, we're looking at a major, major invasion, a takeover, a demographic change in the United States of America. I believe it's purposeful. I believe it's intended. I believe it is planned. I believe it's organized. I believe it's being carried out at the very top office, the Oval Office, with President Joe Biden. I believe it's the globalist mentality to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. I believe it's the third term of Barack Hussein Obama that said that he would fundamentally change America. And I believe that's what we're witnessing today. But I'm thankful that Governor Abbott in Texas is taking a stand. And in that stand, he is saying, come and get us. I'll read this and then we'll take our caller. Texas defies the federal government with come and take it flag at the border standoff. The Texas Military Department proudly displays its Lone Star State heritage, has boldly flown the historic Gonzales flag, with the defiant slogan, "Come and take it," at the headquarters in the ongoing standoff with the federal government over the border crisis. That's right, folks. The Texas Military Department is standing firm against the Biden administration's lackluster approach to enforcing immigration laws and protecting our southern border. And he goes on to talk about what the Texas National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, the Texas State Guard are all under watchful eye, this article says, to protect its southern border. So I commend them for that. 25 other governors are standing with them. Would that bring about civil war? That's the question. Will the Biden administration press it and send in federal agents? That's the question. How will this be perceived? What will be the end result? Where will this standoff take us in America? Every Christian, every conservative, every patriot needs to be concerned. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go with the question or comment, please.
Two topics, two comments. I'd like to say that I am for DEI, but not diversity, equity, and inclusion, but DEI to mean deport every illegal.
I'll buy that. That's good. I like that.
Okay, then concerning illegal aliens, it's about the attack of the police by several criminal migrants. And everybody's saying, oh, we have to deport them. Well, I disagree. We should not deport these criminal migrants, because if you deport a criminal illegal alien, they just come back. So that's plain stupid, whether it's Trump or whoever says it. No, they need to be arrested and forced labor concentration camp. And the fruits of their labor go to the victims of their crimes, period. You know, if you don't punish bad behavior, the bad behavior will continue. We know that with children, with animals. So, but we don't apply it to illegal aliens. So, like, we have no respect for ourselves. And concerning one more topic, concerning Trump not being seeking retribution against all those Democrats that have abused their power. Well, if he doesn't seek justice, Trump would be as bad as the Democrats who committed a crime. If you do not punish crime, then you're abetting the crime, aiding the crime. You're no different than the ones who commits the crime. A government is there to protect the people. People commit a crime, you punish them. But no, Democrats are never punished. And if you don't enforce the law, then you're going against the American people.
Derby, you're exactly right. If you hang on for a moment, let me run a couple of thoughts by you. According to Romans chapter 13, God created civil government as God's servant to protect the good and prosecute the evil. We're finding that turned on its head today, and the reverse of that. We're finding the protection of the evil and the prosecution of the good. And you touched on those, I called them the four thugs and several others. They're naming four that beat two police officers half to death, right in the public eye in New York, and then skipped out. And I believe they, as you said, pick them up, try them, prosecute them, throw the book out, put them behind bars. And because, as you said, if we just deport them, they're going to come bouncing right back. But one of the things that we're finding is the invasion on the southern border. So my question is, what is the answer? Here's my point. If and when, and I believe it will be, Donald Trump be the 47th president, when that takes place, every move that he makes is going to be followed with a suit to tie his hands and prevent him from moving forward. Can he? Will he have the authority? Yes. Will he have the power? Yes. Will he have the opportunity, is my question, to deport any of these invaders? And the second tentacle to that question for you, Derby, I am amazed, saddened, and angered by the fact that over 200 NGOs non-government organizations are involved in the preservation, the protection, and the movement of these invaders when they come into America. These NGOs, overwhelming majority of them, are denominations. The Lutheran Social Services, Roman Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists, even Baptist denominations, and others that are accepting billions of dollars. And in doing so, they're moving these illegal invaders across the nation, providing food, clothing, and shelter at taxpayers' expense, a brown envelope, white envelope with $1,500 in it, and ATM card so that it can add money, and they'll add money every month, providing them with every service that is designed for American citizens. How do you view that? What should be done? How should we stem the tide on that approach?
Well, I think that there should be no welfare for anybody, except maybe the really sick and elderly. If you're young enough to work, you don't get one penny. You starve. If there's no welfare, then those people out of a job will seek a job and earn money and pay taxes. But that is why we have so many illegals underbidding the wages. Illegals don't mind working for less. And the citizens don't want to work because they're getting a lot of free money, free welfare. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody should get any welfare. If people want to help their neighbors, they should do it with their own money, not my money. You know, if I want to give to a charity, I do it voluntarily. But you shouldn't force me to give to anything, to any charity, to any person. It's just a very common sense. When the government takes your money to give it to other people, that is theft.
Well, Derby, I'm looking at a headline. The Biden administration sends millions to religious nonprofits facilitating mass illegal migration. And in the body of the article, it says more than 200 nonprofit groups to dole out $1.6 billion in cash, debit cards, food, clothing, medical treatment, shelter, even humanitarian transportation. Now, with that taking place, I've got a question that you may or may not want to touch as far as the answer. And I'm sure many of these religious organizations are saying we have an opportunity to tell these, my term, not theirs, invaders about Jesus. But at the same time, the Bible is very, very clear that we ought not to embrace that which is evil, that which is illegal, that which is wicked. So how does a religious, nonprofit, quote, Christian organization bifurcate their theology and say we're going to help them because we need to, and at the same time we're helping them break the law by coming into America? I reject that. I totally, out of hand, reject it 100%. I think that it's wrong. I think it's unbiblical. I think it is unholy. I think it is unjustified. And I believe that it should cease and stop immediately. Now, with that being said, one other question. Some call it the exit question. They just, out of the Senate, passed a bill called the Immigration Bill. What are your thoughts on that? Is it good, bad, or indifferent?
Of course, it is worse than anything else that we have had before. It's a continuation of the Biden policies. And concerning the NGOs, they are not religious groups. They are political, self-serving groups that want to hurt the country, change the country. So not one penny should go to these so-called religious NGOs or any NGO. I'm just tired of giving money to everybody that did not earn it. There's a very good interview of the Argentine president Milei by a leftist journalist in Argentina. It's in Spanish, so I cannot send it to you. But he says, yes, if you take money away from me, I don't want to give it, so you have to force me to take it. That is theft. So we don't need theft in the country. We need those that earn their money, give it away as they please, or don't give any money away. Those who want to give their money away, they're free to do it. If you want to send money to Nigeria, send it. But not my tax dollars.
Absolutely. In fact, another headline on that, Derby, NGOs use America's tax dollars to give to through DHS. And it says the problem is NGOs have taken over as the official travel agency for the Department of Homeland Security. If it were not so sad, it'd be a laughable matter. Derby, thank you so much for your input. We need to keep praying, keep looking up. As Christians and conservatives and patriots, we need to pray, we need to plan, need to participate. We do not need to sit in silence. We need to let our voices be heard each and every day. Thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What are your thoughts on some of these subjects we're talking about today? We're talking about things that Christians need to know. We are not hearing this kind of news on the socialist Marxist media. We're not hearing this kind of news from a Christian perspective, but I believe we need to hear it, understand it, heed it, and see what God is doing. And at the origin, I said, we're watching the hand of God. You dig a pit for someone else to fall in, God's word says you'll fall in it. God's word says that if you roll a rock up a hill or stone to fall on someone, it's going to roll back on you. And I believe we're seeing that with each and, listen, with each and every one of these prosecutorial cases that's going against Donald J. Trump. It's political prosecution. And I don't believe God will wink at it. I believe God's going to right the wrong, though it might take a while to do so. God's justice, God's judgment, the wheels of his justice and judgment may grind slowly, but it's ever so sure as it grinds. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, I was listening to the fact that churches are being paid to take in illegal immigrants. And the question that we need to ask them is, if you were not receiving money, would you be doing what you're doing? Well, then you're serving money. And God says, do not serve two masters. I seriously think that as a whole, people in leadership are forgetting to read their Bible or choosing yes. not to, because it's all spelled out there. I was in Revelations and Jude this morning, and it's all spelled out. And it's too convenient that we are using the flesh to rationalize what we really want to do.
Lisa, you're spot on, exactly right with what you're saying. I am in a state of consternation, concern, and quite frankly, anger at seeing religious organizations reach out and accept federal dollars to undermine, to tear down, and destroy the sovereignty of our nation. I think it is antithetical to what Christians ought to do. That's right. Absolutely.
We are under God. So how do you do that and call yourself a Christian? That makes us a liar. We're not Christian if we are not obeying the Bible. You're not.
Amen.
So take the blinders off, Lord Jesus, we pray. And may I comment
Absolutely.
On the movement? So I was in prayer last night because I'm deeply, deeply disturbed about what's happening with the hedonism, the gay LGBTQ movement. And if we cannot see that is an Antichrist movement, just read it again. And sodomy is a absolute abomination to God. He hates it. And there is a video out there, Candace Owens brought it to light, where in California, a man dressed up as a woman, scantily, wickedly fed or spanked the mayor in front of elementary school children in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And if that does not bring up alarm bells about, hey, we need to unite for the love of Christ. So I'm praying, Lord, what's the answer? What can we do? And he's like, well, why are you allowing the celebration of this for the month of June? We have Gay Pride Month for for a month in this country. Why are we allowing that as Christians?
It's simply, Lisa, it's simply a, and I don't say simply as a kind of a, how would you say, minuscule view of it, but it's simply the fact that we have demoralized our nation. We've denigrated our morals, ethics, and values with the attack on the faith, family, and our freedom so heavy that most are caving into it. For example, a question that needs to be asked, should a Christian attend a sodomite wedding? Recently, a major prominent preacher with an international voice around the world had just finished a series on Romans chapter 1 about the God giving them over to vile affections and then giving them over to a reprobate mind. And yet, on one of the talk show programs, he was promoting his one of his books. Someone called in, a grandmother, and said, my grandson is about to marry a transsexual. Should I attend the wedding? And
no.
the preacher asked the question, does your grandson know you stand for Jesus? She said, yes. Does your grandson know that you find this to be dishonorable to God? And she said, yes. He said, well, I recommend that you go to the wedding and buy a gift. Otherwise, you'll be viewed as being judgmental. You'll be viewed as being one that hates or is judgmental toward that element. And yet, Lisa, marriage is God's idea. It's called holy matrimony. Marriage is one man, one woman, as far as God is concerned. And yet, when you bring government into it today, government says a man can marry a man, or a woman can marry a woman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that for a Christian to go to a sodomite wedding and even to buy a gift, if it's a relative, friend, relative, or neighbor, we ought not to do that. We need to take the stand. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We need to take a stand and say that what you're doing is sinful, it's wrong, it's unholy, it's ungodly, and I'm not going to embrace it, I'm not going to celebrate it, I'm not going to hold your hands while you do so. What are your thoughts?
When we condone it, like attending and giving a gift, and we put our stamp of approval on it. People have said, you know, I'm going to this meeting, and unless you're there for undercover reasons to expose it and bring it to light, like really bring it down like we used to, drug rings, really bring it down. If you're at a KKK meeting, you're at a KKK meeting, and that says you're supporting it. Your presence says, I support this. And I don't understand how we have become so foolish in the world. And it goes back to not reading the word. He said to me when all this came through, when President Trump was the election was stolen, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And it is seriously unwise to attend anything that is anti-God. Mm-hmm. And it is seriously harmful at the same time to do that. So we really just need to get right back in that word and let the Lord speak to us and lead us and not let the enemy not groom us into believing it's a better act of love than what the word says.
Yes, Lisa, you're exactly right. And I'll say this as a kind of a footnote to our conversation. What we're finding today, so many pastors across denominational lines want to count the numbers, nickels and noses, as I call it. Therefore, they will embrace what the world embraces, so they will not be viewed as being indignant against sin, not be viewed as rejecting, and they will come into the woke progressive mentality, just as Andy Stanley and others have done in the recent years, in order to have the pews to be filled. God calls the pastor of a local New Testament church to preach the word without favor, without fear, standing on what the word says. And yet we have become a woke society, and that woke progressive mindset has crept over into the churches. And the churches today, including those in the pulpit for the most part, feel that we've got to entertain the world, embrace the world, and celebrate the world's activities in order to have someone to fill the pews in the church. And that's simply not what God's word says in relationship to the reason for the local New Testament church. Lisa, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your stand. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank
that telephone
you,
number, thank you so much. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline. It says, Alistair Begg takes heat for advising a grandmother to attend a grandchild's transgender wedding. The introductory statement says, Christian leaders are challenging the well-known Scottish pastor, Alistair Begg, after he shared that he encouraged a grandmother to attend her grandson's transgender wedding. It goes on to talk about what had taken place, the dialogue that he had, and he says, people are not likely to answer, Begg, like my answer. Then Begg explained, as he replied to the grandmother, by asking her, does your grandson understand your belief in Jesus? She responded, yes. Does your grandson understand that your belief in Jesus makes it such that you can't countenance and affirming in an affirming way the choices that he has made in his life? She said, yes. And he says, as a response to her, he says, here's the thing. Your love for them may catch them off guard. By your absence, you're simply reinforcing the fact that they said these people are always judgmental, critical, unprepared to countenance anything. And he goes on to tell her she needs to go, embrace him, and give a gift. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's simply unbiblical. We're to shun every appearance of evil, the scripture says. How do we embrace what God has turned over to a reprobate mind? Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32 says very clearly that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. And then he goes into detail, verse 29, 30, and 31, as to what a reprobate mind is like. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that God says no. And if God says no, we ought not, as Christians, to embrace what God has condemned. What the Bible says is sin. God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plains round about, the scripture says, as a result of a lifestyle of sodomy. God condemns it, and the Christian church ought not to embrace it in any form or in any fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be faithful to what the Word of God says. It's not a matter of what I think, say, or feel. It's not a matter of what a philosopher might say. It doesn't make any difference what the politicians say, but the bottom line is, thus saith the Word of God. Are we obedient to that? I say we ought to be as Christians. We need to pray, we need to plan, and we need to be prepared, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, that in the last days perilous times will come. That word perilous means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult. We need to recognize we're in those days. We need to take a stand. Pray and seek God's face. Turn from our wicked ways. Ask Him to heal our land. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in night.